You're listening to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. Hey, John.
Hey, Alan.
Hello, Devin.
Hello.
What's up, everybody? How we doing?
Well, it's a dog-eat-dog world, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
So would it be safe to assume that they are would it be safe to assume that they are boxers?
Oh dang.
Get it? Dog boxer. Oh god. Let's move on.
Oh, milk bone and boxer. Yeah, we're heading in the right way already, aren't we, guys? Yeah. We are doing great.
Yeah, that exchange makes me say woof.
Rawr. All right. Anyway, so for those who caught up with us, John and I recorded about 17 minutes of a conversation Monday. We talked a little bit about the current state of the Jazz, and then we talked a lot about Black Panther and the Oscars. Well, here we are 4 days later. We got a lot of Jazz to talk about this time, so let's jump right into it. The Jazz, since our talk on Monday, have gone 2-0 in that stretch, and we talked about that. Felt like they would. Is it 2-0 or 3-0? 2-0. Yeah, 2-0. And they're looking pretty good. And you've been actively tweeting on Jedi and Germs account about the playoff odds, as well as you posted something on Torn by Sports. Why don't we talk about that right now? Let's talk about what's coming.
Yeah, I wrote something yesterday put all the stats in one place of what lies ahead, what each team that's above them has on their schedule. To just trying to, you know, I'm like following this hourly, seeing where all the standings are and the odds and everything. So the Jazz, as of this moment, are still in 10th place, but with what is coming up for everybody else, I think that probably changes in the next 2 days at the latest.
Well, aren't they? Okay, so they're 10th place, but they're in a virtual three-way tie for 8th, aren't they?
Yes. If you go by winning percentage, they're like 0.002 behind the Clippers, because the Clippers have played two fewer games,
right,
and they have one less in the win and loss column each.
Right.
I'm paying attention mainly to the loss column.
Okay.
Denver and Utah have 30, so they're right there, but Denver has the tiebreaker. And then right above them, you have three teams with 29 losses, Minnesota, Oklahoma City, and the Clippers. And while the Minnesota free fall looks great, they would own the tiebreaker against the Jazz. So Minnesota is a team we want to not only fall, but we want them to fall at least one loss more than the Jazz. And Oklahoma City, same thing. They're not exactly consistent lately, but they also have the tiebreaker on the Jazz, so they're another one where if the Jazz want to jump them, they need to get a better record than them.
We do have a chance to tie that season series with Minnesota coming up, because I believe we play them once more.
Yes, we would tie it, but then it would go to division, and they have a much better division record.
Okay, all right. That answers that. Yes, Devin?
Well, there is the concern with that matchup. You know, they acquired Jazz superstar and longtime favorite of the Jazz, Derrick Rose. So that's going to be a tough game.
Yeah, but as we see, they lose their temper very easily and get themselves kicked out of games. So, you know, you never know what'll happen in that matchup.
You never know. You never know.
Jeff Teague, we're looking at you, buddy. We are. Okay, the Jazz have won 15 of their last 17. You mentioned there in the notes, they're 17-4 since Rudy's return. Jazz are playing well right now.
Since Rudy's return, Jazz are the second best team in the NBA.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and they're playing great.
And they're the number one defensive team in the NBA, aren't they?
By far.
Yeah. So, lot can be said of that. Rudy Gobert for Defensive Player of the Year, although I believe sitting out as many games as he did is going to probably prevent that from happening yet again. But they're that good defensively, and that's been good. And their net rating is actually pretty good too. I think you posted that the other day. Where's their net rating ranked in the league right now?
Oh, I had that. I think they're like fifth.
Okay.
So yeah, they're something insanely good.
Yeah, so they're up there in the top 10 in net rating, which says a lot. So yeah, they're hot. They're playing extremely well. 11 in a row. I hated seeing that streak come to an end, but they have now won 5 in a row. And there's some games coming up. What do we got coming up?
We got 2 more road games. And sometimes that would worry me, but the Jazz have turned into a really good road team all of a sudden.
What, 9 in a row, 10 in a row?
Yeah, 9 in a row. They have Memphis, so that's got to be 10 in a row there. And then the challenge is going to be the Pelicans. I haven't heard anything on Anthony Davis. I expect he'll be able to play. I think he's doubtful for their next game, but if he's just doubtful for their next game, I expect that he'll be able to play when they face the Jazz on Sunday. They've been playing incredibly since DeMarcus Cousins went down, so that's going to be a Jazz challenge. If there's one thing Quinn does well, though, is he's able to keep leading scores on other teams well below their season average. They did it in Indiana with Victor Oladipo, on and on through the previous schedule. So I expect that Quinn will do everything he can to control Anthony Davis and just try to make somebody else on the Pelicans beat him. So that's a real challenge there. If they can get that one, then it's absolute cake. They could be on another 11 game winning streak.
Yeah. I was just going to say
four in a row now. Memphis is pretty much a gimme. I know you're not supposed to say it, but it is. But if they beat them, then they have a 4-game homestand and all 4 of those teams are lottery teams.
Yeah. Agreed. Now, did you say they won 4 in a row? I thought they'd won 5 in a row.
It's 4 in a row.
Is it 4 in a row? Okay.
It'll be 5 if they beat Memphis tonight. Yeah, it was. They lost to the Rockets and they've played 4 games since.
Okay. So 4 in a row. So yeah, I mean, like you said, you get past the Pelicans, Jazz are in the driver's seat, suddenly 11 in a row, and suddenly they're sitting, 42, 43 wins and not very many games left and an opportunity to get to 46, maybe 47, 48 games. There's the opportunities there. The unfortunate part is now we're at the point where we have to scoreboard watch. We have to have teams ahead of the Jazz lose. They have to. And we got some help last night. We've gotten some help the last couple of days. Jazz have to control their own destiny, but then these other teams, I just hope they lose at some point in time, some of them.
Something else to watch is the last 10 numbers for these teams. Right. So for the last 10, Jazz are 8-2. For 5 through 9 above them, you have Spurs 3-7, Minnesota 4-6, Oklahoma City 6-4, Clippers 6-4, Denver 6-4.
Wow.
So they are on a higher trajectory than those other teams. And if all of them stay on the trajectory they're on, then Jazz could pass them all, really. But I don't think they'll pass them all. But
no, I don't think so.
They're
either.
In a good spot.
All right. Okay. That pretty much covers the Jazz. Okay. Before we get away from Jazz, I want to ask a question. This was asked the other day. I wanted to blurt it out. I wanted to call in the station, but Hans Olsen on 1280 asked the question, if you could have one thing, what would it be? He asked Rudy Gobert, Defensive Player of the Year, Donovan Mitchell, Rookie of the Year, or Quinn Snyder as Coach of the Year. I think those were the 3 options, and I don't know if I'm forgetting one, but what would your choice be?
That's easy.
Mine would be Rookie of the Year.
Okay. You're saying the same thing, aren't you, Devin?
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's the thing. Is he saying this season? Because you can only have Rookie of the Year once.
This season, yes.
Yeah, because I think Rudy Gobert is going to have a chance at Defensive Player of the Year for the next 5-6 years.
Right.
And if the Jazz build and turn into a competitive team, a contender somehow in the next 5 years, Quinn's definitely going to be in that conversation as well.
Right.
Because I don't think they're going to continually give it to Steve Kerr. I don't know how long Popovich is going to be coaching.
Right.
So Donovan, he's only gets one shot at it. And when's the last time the Jazz had a Rookie of the Year?
Never.
1980.
Yeah. I mean, it's been that long. Yeah. I mean, you might as well say never because it's been that long. It's been almost 50 years. 40 years, I mean, 40.
So, yeah, I think it's an easy choice.
Okay.
What about you?
Well, I feel the same way. And interesting to hear him talking to Kurt Heelan and a couple others about it, who mentioned, you know, Rudy's probably not going to get it this year. I mean, not playing a bunch of games really hurts Rudy's chance at Defensive Player of the Year. Even if it's hands down, it should be him, because look at the difference he makes on and off the court for the Jazz. But then he talks about Quinn Snyder, and he says Quinn Snyder's not going to get it either, because it's likely going to be Brad Stevens. And I can't disagree with that choice. I can't. And so your only other option is Rookie of the Year. And I have to agree. I think Donovan Mitchell is that's what I want this year. I agree with that. And final note I was going to mention, Brett sent me an interesting piece the other day. And I think, John, we may have touched on it Monday, but I don't remember. A piece that was done on ESPN. And I think it was ESPN. But they were talking about Donovan Mitchell, talking about the Jazz. There was a conversation with Rudy Gobert, and Rudy said that he had a convo with Donovan Mitchell and said, do you want to be a volume scorer? Do you want to be this guy? Or do you want to be on a playoff contending team where we're going to get to the playoffs and contend every single year? And do you want to just make yourself better and be a better team? You know, it was an interesting question. I wish I could remember the exact quote. But it was very interesting to see that Rudy has taken Donovan aside and has kind of worked with him to encourage him to be the guy he wants to be for the team, for the goal, for the playoffs. And Donovan's embracing it. I don't know if you remember that piece.
I don't. I read the USA Today one that was really good on him. But that's the thing with Donovan is he is just... He's an open cup that he'll just take anything you pour into him. He is willing to learn from anyone and everyone. And I think that's what makes him special. And that's why he's able to improve so quickly is kind of that humble attitude of I can learn from everyone.
Okay. So this was sent last week. I'll read this exact quote. Rudy says, I've told him, I said, do you want to be a guy who scores a lot, but who never wins anything like we have a lot of in this league? Or do you want to be a guy who wins, who makes the right play? And then he says he wants to win. He watches film all day, keeps improving, and now his decision-making is way better. He doesn't turn the ball over like he was. He takes better shots, puts more pressure on the defense, and finds teammates too. He's getting a lot better. That's a quote from Rudy Gobert.
And what's special about that is Rudy is the epitome of sacrificing personal statistics for the team.
Yeah.
It's really great that they keep track of screen assists now, and he's always like number one or two in the league. But Rudy is a guy who could score a lot more, but it probably wouldn't necessarily help the Jazz win more games.
Right.
He'd probably get hacked more. He'd probably have more turnovers. But he really could score a lot more. But he is willing to do what it takes for the team to get other guys set up to score with more efficient shots, and that's a big part of the success of the Jazz is his sacrifice on offense, he's willing to do for everybody else.
And sacrifice aside, can we just really briefly touch on the fact that over the last four games, Rudy's offensive explosion? I mean, it's been there. He's hitting bank shots. He's hitting jump shots. He dribbles past guys with his left hand and goes in and dunks it, you know, on kind of blows by a guy. He did that in the Phoenix game. I can't remember what game it was. It might've been Phoenix, but he's doing things on offense that you're like, whoa, Rudy, where's this coming from? It's, oh my gosh, it's incredible. Rudy's exploding on offense, which has been good. And I can't say enough. I don't think we can say enough about what's going on with this team right now. And they're so much fun to watch. So, no other Jazz notes. Let's move on to NBA news and notes. What you want to touch on in the NBA, John?
One more thing about Derrick Rose joining the Timberwolves. This is yet another Chicago guy joining Tibbs' team. I expect them to make a trade for Luol Deng any minute now. Probably get Carlos Boozer out of retirement. It's hilarious. But what I really love about Rose joining the team is Rose is one of the least efficient players in the NBA. And if so, they can add him to that team and take away minutes from Tyus Jones. Great. That just makes it more likely that the Jazz can pass the Timberwolves in the standings.
Right. Fair enough.
And he rejoins the coach who potentially destroyed his career by playing him way too many minutes.
Oh, yep. Yeah, exactly.
You know, Tibbs seems to be that guy.
Do we have to worry about Carl Anthony Towns going forward? I mean, on that note, maybe. Do we really
depends
have
how long
to worry
he
about
coaches
that?
There.
Yeah.
I mean, Tibbs has only been there 2 years. He's about to get them to the playoffs for the first time in 15 years. And yet I see a lot of rumblings of people having problems with Tibbs. And where he's still running his players into the ground, and they feel like he doesn't have to do that. He would still be a winning coach if he would just figure out how to use bench players.
Right. And he's a coach that I really kind of liked even for the Jazz. And the more I sit back and think about it, I just go, no, he like you're saying, John, he can't seem to work a good rotation and keep his players healthy. Yeah, things happen, but it seems like it's a consistent theme. That he's running into these issues, because you had it happen with Rose, you had it happen with Levine, you've had it happen with Butler now.
Well, I read something on Twitter of a writer out of Minnesota who talked about the feeling in Minnesota for not only Tibbs but Butler as well. And this was after that Jazz game when Butler was calling out on Twitter and stuff. And this writer responded to him and was really just. He really just dug it at Tibbs and Butler, and was really not very happy, and said seemed to try and speak vocally on behalf of a lot of Minnesota fans that they don't like either one of them. I would love to have just a real sit down conversation with Zach Harper again. I want to know what he, you know, because he's a big Minnesota fan. We've had him on before and talked, but I'd love to hear his thoughts on Tibbs and Butler and how he feels about them being in Minnesota. I'd be very curious.
Yeah, I would too. I've seen him respond to some tweets like that before. I think it's still a minority in Minnesota, but right. I have seen a lot of fans. One reason they're mad at Tibbs is they feel like ever since Tibbs got there, he was trying to get rid of Ricky Rubio, and he is still beloved in Minnesota.
Right.
And a lot of fans up there are really mad that they feel like Jeff Teague's been a downgrade from Rubio, and you know, there's a lot of, even though this is their first playoff run in 15 years, there's still a lot of unhappiness up there.
Yeah, agreed. All right. Any other NBA news and notes?
I just want to touch on the Eastern Conference race.
Okay, let's do it.
And how that might affect Coach of the Year. Toronto has a 2-game lead on Boston right now. They've won 6 in a row. And while Brad Stevens, I would say, was probably the no one can touch him favorite a couple months ago, I think Dwayne Casey is going to give him a run for his money. Dwayne's never won before. Toronto is the best they've ever been with basically the same team they've had for years. I think you have to consider him. And just like Houston and Golden State in the West, no one's going to catch up to Toronto and Boston in the East. So those are your two powerhouses. Now, maybe playoff LeBron can get to the finals again, but I don't have confidence they're going to do it this year.
Yeah, your confidence is waning on it, huh?
Yeah, I mean, the trade was great, and it seemed to cause some rejuvenation, but they're really playing at about the same win-loss ratio as they were before, so...
Well, and then LeBron continues to be so good. That Denver game the other night, I mean...
Yeah.
Somebody tweeted out that he was playing horse with some of the shots he was taking. And it's true. It's like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? So in a way I feel bad, because it's like LeBron can't seem to cut a break. Like, he's just that good, but then he's with an organization that the first go around would never surround him with the right players. And the second go around, he ends up facing Golden State every year, and they can't seem to get it together there in Cleveland either. It's like, what do you do?
I can't feel too sorry for a guy who's made it to the finals 8 years in a row.
Well, okay.
But
I'm not going to disagree with that, but I'm just saying, come on. You know where I'm coming from.
Saying. Yeah, I do. Cleveland still has a defense problem.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, they let Nuggets score 126 on them. They let the Nets score 123 on them. I mean, they won that game, but come on. Why are you letting the Nets score 123 on you?
Right.
There's issues there. I mean, you know, we kind of knew that when Rodney Hood would go there, he was going to have games where he helped them win. He's going to have other games where he did more harm than good.
Right.
Some of those other guys, you know, same thing. So I think they'll continue on at this pace. I think they will get the third seed. I think LeBron's having enough energy games that he's going to be able to keep Wizards and Pacers at bay. But, you know, once it comes to the Eastern Conference Finals, they'll be faced in Boston in the second round. So that's
right.
That's going to be an incredible series right there. You know, if Boston can't catch Toronto.
Right. So, all right. Well, that'll do it for NBA news and notes. Let's move on to Devin's quick hits.
All right, we're talking about LeBron James, so let's talk about billboards. It seems that other cities have caught on to this whole Salt Lake thing. You know, we're the trendsetters, let's be honest, of putting up a billboard to attract someone to sign during free agency. You had Philadelphia say to complete the process. Now you've got L.A. doing LeBron, L.A. Braun. guys, do we need to do a billboard? Do we need to do another one? Do we need a LeBron billboard in Salt Lake?
Wouldn't hurt.
No, it wouldn't hurt. We might as well.
Do we have any ideas?
Oh, can you catchy phrases?
Yeah, can you like take note?
King of the mountains? I don't know. See? Yeah, see.
There you go.
How many more cities do you think this pops up in? Because I don't think we're done. I mean, we're in March now. Free agency starts what, July 1st?
Well, Houston might want to consider it.
Yeah, and right.
Unless they like win the whole thing, then they don't really care. But
Utah needs to do something that puts
San Antonio probably wants to do it.
Right. I think Utah needs to do something where they put a king, the Eiffel Tower, and a spider. I don't know. They need to do something that could attract all of that at once on one. Can't you do a billboard with those?
I mean, you could.
Yeah, I mean, figure something out, something creative. A king,
like
a spider.
Spider-Man on the left, Eiffel Tower on the right, and then like a throne in the middle with the your name here, LeBron.
I'm just saying, you get creative enough and you tell LeBron, hey, you know you want to come play with the best center in the league and the best rookie in the league. So come on, let's do it.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's talk. We got Anthony Davis coming up. You were saying how hot he is as of late, John. Is the Brow a contender for MVP this year? Or is it locked up by Harden?
I feel about the MVP race the same way I feel about Coach of the Year race. Anthony Davis is a lock to get second, third, and fourth place votes. I don't see how you don't give it to Harden this year.
Okay. Alan?
Against what I really want to say, I can't disagree with that.
It hurts, doesn't it?
Oh, I'm not a Harden fan in the least bit, and people know it. I'm not afraid to remind people of it, but yeah, I don't know how you cannot vote him as the MVP. And I'm sorry, but I still can't get away from not voting for LeBron right now. Because if you really want to vote MVP of the league, I'm sorry, but as long as LeBron's been in this league, he is the MVP of the league and should be every year because that's just what he is. But
I agree. Okay. Making another jump, NBA related. I believe we talked about it on the show a couple weeks ago. DeMar DeRozan discussing his battles with depression.
Yep.
This week we had a few more NBA players open up, including Kevin Love, all-star for the Cavs, posting in the Players Tribune about his battle with anxiety attacks on the court and his, you know, treatment process off the court. Did you guys have a chance to read it?
I did, all the way through.
Yep.
Okay. Alan, I'll let you take the lead on this. And I just want to talk about this article because I thought it was absolutely fantastic.
So did I. So this one's hard for me to talk about. How dare you make me be the one to lead off? But I know you did it intentionally. It really hit home. I love that he talked about openly about having a panic attack, and it's and the, the it, the Players Tribune, I props to the folks that set that up. And I think, I can't remember who it was, the player that set that up originally. But it gives players a chance to be raw, to let out their emotion, to kind of explain themselves, to do things. And this, if anybody hasn't read it, you need to. It's about as raw as you can get with Kevin Love. He's never really, he says he's grown up with the stigma all his life that says, you know, you're not allowed to have a panic attack. You're not allowed to feel like this. You're not allowed to, you know, we've all been there, guys. We have. We've all been there at some point in time in our lives where, whether it's a family loved one or maybe it's a friend or friends or people you know at school that tell you, dude, you're not allowed to cry, man. Don't cry. That's weak. You know, and it was interesting to read his perspective and get deep inside of Kevin Love for a minute and hear just what he was going through on the night that he had that panic attack. And the fact that he's gotten help, he's gone to therapy, he's looked into it. Guys, depression's not a stigma. It's real. It is good hell. It's real. And what people go through, the hellish things they go through in their minds, it's real, guys. It just plain is.
John, what were your thoughts on reading that?
The thing that I appreciated most about it was that it's one of the first. I think DeMar was really the first, and I think now that Kevin's done it, I think other guys are going to feel more comfortable about it. And it's something that anyone who's ever had depression or anxiety can understand.
Yep.
That it is real. It's like it's one of those things where it's. I've always felt like it's hard to get other people to understand that it's real, that depression isn't just you're sad.
No.
It's like this whole, it's a condition. And when you try to get out of it, it feels like you're trying to swim out of a flushing toilet bowl and you just can't seem to climb up.
Exactly.
And, you know, I totally understood what he was talking about. I get the mentality of toughening up. That's always been the mentality. But when you actually have something like that, it is something where you have to get help. And it is something that doesn't just go away if you tough it out. So
I know
glad he recognized that and found help.
So do I. And so I know these are supposed to be quick hits, Bevan, but I can't. I want to hit on something really quick before we move forward on another one. DeMar DeRozan, not even what he wrote. It was the one tweet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That tweet spoke volumes when he tweeted out about being depressed. But I just want to say this. I tweeted out something some time ago on my alternate account, and it was about depression. And I want people to understand something. Be there for people. Help people. And I'm going to tell you, telling someone to go get help isn't always the best thing. When somebody's struggling, don't tell them, go get help. You need help. That's not helping. Sometimes you need to go and sit down with them. Put your arm around them and help them and walk with them in their times that they need it. It's real, guys. You have to do that. So reach out to your friends, the people that you know are struggling, and do it, please.
And I think that's what we're seeing here with the with these players coming out. You know, these are big names that are having this conversation. And John, you are absolutely right, because another player has started having the conversation. I'm not sure if you guys saw Kelly Oubre.
I did not.
From Washington. Said something, let's see, I think it was 2 days ago. And so just to kind of give you an idea of what he said, quote, "A lot of people are coming out with things about mental health. I feel as if, yeah, man, I've suffered through a lot of things in my life. I've been through a lot of things. I can definitely relate to it all. I'm really good at keeping a poker face because when I was growing up, my dad always told me, don't let anybody see you weak. Nobody sees that I'm weak, but deep down inside, I'm going through a lot. Hell is turning over."
Yeah.
You know, we're having this conversation.
I wish this conversation had happened 40 years ago.
Well, it probably should have.
It definitely should
have. But I like the fact that this is a conversation that I started having probably about 3 years ago. Well, it was the first time, 2 or 3 years ago, that I started kind of diving into mental health and learning about it and being okay talking about it and wanting to break the stigma. But now you've got NBA players kind of leading the charge here, because I can't think, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong, I'm having a hard time thinking of any other celebrities that have had this conversation, because it seems like the only time we have it is when someone passes away as a victim of suicide. Am I wrong? It just doesn't seem like people want to talk about it until it's too late.
No, you're not wrong. And that's why I again say this should have happened 40 years ago or even longer. A lot of lives probably could have been saved.
So I just wanted to bring it up. It's something we'll kind of follow, because I think we're just kind of starting a domino effect here. And I think you're going to see it spread into other sports. You know, I think the conversation is starting to happen. I think people are having a lot of conversations now that they weren't having before. And I think that's great.
Thanks for that quick hit, Devin. No matter how long it went, that was a good one. Yeah,
that's a longer hit, but it's a good one to touch on. We got one other thing that I wanted to bring up. Selection Sunday will be coming up.
Yeah.
We got an NCAA tournament. I just want to know, guys, are we doing another bracket this year? And if so,
yeah.
If so, do we want to open this up to listeners? Do we want to like set up something on online and get like a Jedi and Germs group to compete?
I suppose we could. I don't know what people win out of it. I wasn't planning on doing a bracket this year, but I suppose if we do one, we can do one. Maybe we give our listeners a chance to respond to this and tweet at us if they want to do some sort of a thing.
We could like give them the name, the display name on our Twitter handle for a week or something. You know, whoever's the champion, we can figure something out.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
So someone has to get bragging rights, because you can't just be like, oh, this person won. No, yeah. they need to be able to gloat about it for a good week.
Yep.
All right. Let's open that up. People, tweet us. Let us know if you're interested. If we get enough interest, we'll set something up.
Deal. All right. Any other quick hits?
No. Baseball's starting. Football, there was the combine, but you know, let's wait until
NFL draft. It's still a month away.
We're good.
Quick question for both of you: are we going to get any teams from the state in the NCAA tournament? Be honest here. Don't be fanboy or anything. Tell me the truth.
No,
I don't think so either. So it's unfortunate, but this is a down year. So. All right, let's move on to pop culture. John, you have a couple things you want to talk about.
Yes, I saw a couple more movies. I saw Game Night, which stars Jason Bateman and Rachel McAdams, about a competitive couple with them and their friends are doing a game night, and the guy's brother sets up a murder mystery. But while he has done this fake kidnap scenario set up, actual kidnappers show up and take him, and so it becomes real. And so the comedy is from the couples thinking it's all still an act and kind of going along until they eventually discover it's real. It's from the creators of Horrible Bosses, and if you liked Horrible Bosses, you will like Game Night. I thought it was pretty funny. I thought it's the funniest Rachel McAdams has allowed to be in years. And I just had fun from beginning to end. I really enjoyed it.
All right. I haven't seen it, but I've seen the trailers, whatnot for it. So it looks interesting. What's it rated?
It's rated R.
Okay.
I wish it had come out at a different time. I think it would have done better, but it came out the week after Black Panther, and nothing is succeeding after Black Panther.
And it's the week before, I believe Wrinkle in Time's out this week too.
Yep. Wrinkle in Time opened today.
Sweet. I'm planning to see that. I hope my wife just told me yesterday or today that we might go see it tomorrow. So we'll see. And you wanted to talk, you saw Red Sparrow?
Yes. Red Sparrow is a Russian spy thriller kind of in the spirit of Jean Le Carré novels, but it's directed quite luridly. It's very entertaining. I enjoyed the suspense throughout. It is very graphic. There is graphic violence. There's more nudity than I thought there would be, but Jennifer Lawrence really throws herself into it, and she is really good as this woman trained to be an assassin, spy, seductress, and the whole cast is good. And I don't know. It's one of those where I know a lot of people won't like it, but I think when it just comes to those classic spy thrillers, I think this one delivers.
Okay. So you give it a go see it, must see, whatnot?
Yeah, I give it a thumbs up as long as you know what you're getting into.
All right. Awesome. I can't say I can contribute anything to pop culture this week because I haven't seen any movies since Black Panther. And like I said, we'll probably see Wrinkle in Time this week. Devin, I know you got something you want to throw into the mix here.
I didn't until I checked Twitter right as we were starting. And Netflix, because I am your designated Netflix person.
Yeah, yes, you are.
Love, guys, I want to talk about Love.
Love?
What else is there, man?
Wow.
It's the greatest, I saw the first episode.
It's the greatest thing we do. Oh, that's right.
I was talking about John
Love.
Saw the first episode, and you're not getting into this. Come on, Devin.
Yeah, Love, season 3, out now. And I have binge-watched the first 2 seasons because it is the quirky kind of adult comedy that I really enjoy. So, yeah, I will be watching season 3 this weekend.
Sweet.
Speaking of Netflix, I watched The Ritual.
Okay.
It's a new thriller on there. And my review would be, it is the Blair Witch sequel that the Blair Witch sequel wishes it had been.
Well, that's deep.
Yeah. It's got 4 guys who are going on a hike through the woods. They go on these summer vacations. And so they thought it would be really cool to hike the Norway-Sweden border. And they wind up deciding to go off the path and take a shortcut through the forest. And creepy stuff starts happening fairly quickly once they do that. And I'll say this. I liked that it didn't pull a Blair Witch where it's just suspense and sounds and noises until you get to the very end. You actually start to get to see stuff and have stuff happen into the movie. It's not an entire movie of, what was that noise? No, you start... Stuff starts happening and it gets freakier and freakier. And I appreciated that about it. I think that's the main reason I liked it more than the Blair Witch. Stuff actually starts happening halfway through.
So I could never get into Blair Witch. I don't know why. It just was never my thing. And in truth, I don't have issues with horrors and stuff like that. I just don't. But for it just never intrigued me. I never felt the need to want to see it or interest in it at all. So
it was of its time. I mean, when it debuted at Sundance, they made people think that it was an actual documentary of actual found footage. And if you watched it believing that, then it is very freaky. I haven't watched it since. I watched it as soon as it came out, and there's still kind of this pretend that you kind of go along with it, even though you know it's not real, but
right.
And there have been a lot of copycats since. The Blair Witch sequel tried to do the same thing with the found footage style, but it wound up following the blueprint too closely to the original, where not a lot happens till you get to the very end. And you just can't do that these days.
Right, right. One thing I want to throw into pop culture, because I was having fun with this. I did an On This Day in History search. On this day in 1959, the Barbie doll made its debut at American International Toy Fair in New York. Hello, Barbie.
Let's go party.
Alrighty then.
Oh, you're going to sing that song. Hello, Barbie. Let's go party.
I'll go there. I'll go there. Anytime I can get in a good 90s pop reference,
I'll
do it.
You're a Barbie girl in a Barbie world?
Sure am. All right. Made of plastic. Life's fantastic.
Oh, boy. All right. that should wrap up this week's Jedi and Germs, our full-length episode. We want to thank you all for joining us. We appreciate you being with us every week, supporting us. We appreciate that very much. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter, Jedi and Germs. You find us wherever you listen to any podcast. You listen to any of your podcasts, Jedi and Germs. Please, please, we ask that you take some time and leave us a review. Facebook, iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere that you listen. We appreciate those reviews. We'd love to talk about them in the future. So thank you again. We'll talk to you real soon. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.